tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
This is the last segment of our series called Understanding the End Time. The end of the age of human government and the beginning of the kingdom of God occurs at the Battle of Armageddon. Let's look at the Bible's most detailed account of Armageddon. It's found in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 through 16. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, notice two things. Number one, the Euphrates River is going to be dried up when the sixth vial is poured out. This is to facilitate the invasion of Israel by the kings of the east. Now, the Euphrates River being dried up is a huge prophecy because the Euphrates is the principal water source of the Middle East. On January the 13th, 1990, the Indianapolis Star carried the headline, Turkey will cut off flow of Euphrates for 1 month. What happened was Turkey built a huge Ataturk dam, and they needed to fill up their reservoir when the dam was completed. They actually stopped the flow of the Euphrates for 30 days. What does this mean? Well, this means this 2,000-year-old prophecy could only be fulfilled as of 1990. And as I speak to you right now, Turkey has the ability to raise the dam and stop the flow of the Euphrates. The Bible prophesies that the Euphrates will be dried up to allow the kings of the east to invade Israel. Now, the passage also says that there will be three spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And these are the spirits of devils drawing the kings of the earth come on down against Israel for the battle of Armageddon. The prophecy continues on in verse number 15. I like to call this the last minute warning. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. That's like God saying, I'm coming. Make sure you stay ready. Don't get sloppy. Don't go to sleep at the wheel. And then verse 16, and he carried them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. This is the only passage in the entire Bible the word Armageddon is used. Armageddon comes from two words, Har Megiddo, or Hill of Megiddo. The city of Megiddo is up on the hill overlooking the plain of Megiddo, which also is known as the Valley of Jezreel. 7 miles wide, 15 miles long. That's where the Battle of Armageddon will begin. Then it will finish 160 miles to the south at the gates of Jerusalem. Now, another account of Armageddon is given in the book of Zechariah chapter 14, and it states a little different. Verse number 2 says, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Now, remember back in Revelation, it says that the spirits of devils gather the nations to battle. Here, God said, I will do it. Is this a contradiction? No. God uses Satan for his own purposes. So the nations of the earth are going to be convinced to come down to do this evil thing, and that is fight against Israel. And the city of Jerusalem shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city of Jerusalem will go into captivity during the Battle of Armageddon, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Now, can you see this? The Jews are teetering on the brink of defeat. The battle begins in northern Israel. They fall back down the Jordan Valley before the superior firepower of the international community. It may be the armies of NATO. It may be the world community armies. Exactly how that whole force is going to be structured, I can't tell you. But now Israel is at the gates of Jerusalem for her last stand? Can't you just see it? The young Jewish soldiers, they're bone weary. They've been fighting for days. They look at their ammunition boxes empty. They realize the end of the nation of Israel has come. Perhaps President Ahmadinejad of Iran was right. Israel's going to be wiped off the map. Israel's going to be driven into the sea. But those young Jewish soldiers remember, their mothers taught them, when Israel needs him the most, Messiah will come. Some of them may have paused for a moment to look to the Mount of Olives. That's where he's going to come to and say, Messiah, if you're ever going to come, right now would be the perfect time. Well, the Bible tells us what happened. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3 and 4. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the middle thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain will move toward the north, half of it toward the south. The Bible actually says there's going to be a great earthquake that will kill 7,000 in Jerusalem at that time. Now, the Jewish people are expecting their Messiah to come to the Mount of Olives. I can see the Jewish soldiers and the other Jews as they rush out to meet their Messiah. Let's look at the account in Zechariah chapter 13, verse number 6. They rush out to meet their Messiah. The guns have fallen silent. The international army is amazed at this scenario taking place in front of their eyes. The descent of Jesus Christ from heaven with his armies. And the Jews rush out to meet their Messiah. They fall before him to worship him. And I see one young Jewish soldier, he looks down at the feet of the Messiah and he sees their scars in his feet. And Jesus reaches out to him and he notices a scar in his hand. And the soldier says, Messiah, where did you get these wounds? And Jesus says, this is Zechariah 13:6. What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And all of a sudden, 2,000 years of spiritual blindness comes peeling off the Jewish mind. And they say, so you're Jesus. Oh, Messiah, we have been so blind. We have been so arrogant, so proud. Could you ever forgive us? Does anybody know what happens when someone asks Jesus to forgive them? I personally know. He forgives them. Now, continuing on, this same scene is one chapter earlier in Zechariah 12:10. Listen to this account. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, whom they crucified. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So the Jews weep because of their rejection of their Messiah. Now, this is when the millennium begins, the 1,000 years of peace. Daniel talked about it in Daniel 7:9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit. The thrones of human government are going to be put aside. All governments will be suspended and Jesus will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 27 of Daniel 7 tells us more. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So the kingdom will be given to the saints, the born-again people that have been raptured to meet the Lord in the air. Now they're going to rule and reign as kings and priests with Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 through 10, it tells us that the people there, the redeemed, are rejoicing, saying, thou hast redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and you have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The Bible says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Do you know, we are in training right now to reign. That's what being a Christian's all about. We're taught, love those that hate you, do good to those that despitefully use you. That's the law. Those are the principles that will rule the world during the 1,000 years of peace. No wonder it's going to be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Zechariah chapter number 14 and verse number 9 tells us, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. God's not going to be called by many different names. It's not going to be Brahma or Allah or Jehovah or Jesus. No, there's going to be one Lord, his name one, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm sure you're wondering, what's going to happen to Israel at this time? Romans chapter 11, verse 25 through 26 tells us, the Apostle Paul said, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." So all of Israel that survives the great tribulation, the wrath of God, and the battle of Armageddon will then be saved. Now, the sad news is 2/3 of them will be destroyed. The latter part of Zechariah chapter number 13 tells us that. But the 1/3 that survives will be saved to live into the millennium under the rulership of Jesus Christ and his church. The Bible even tells us in Matthew 19:27, so interesting. Peter said to Jesus, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, to Peter and the apostles, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." It's going to be so interesting to see the apostles on those 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel during the millennium. Isaiah chapter number 2, verse 2 through 3 tells us, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains." Now we're talking about the Lord's headquarters during the millennium. "And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." I can't tell you whether there's going to be a literal house of the Lord there, whether there will be a literal temple or not. I know the Bible teaches that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost and that God no longer dwells in temples made with hands. We know the church is called the New Jerusalem. So I can't tell you whether it's going to be a literal temple or a spiritual temple. It doesn't matter to me. All I know is I want to be a part of what God is doing at that time. In Isaiah 2, verse 4, it tells us more. "And he shall judge among the nations," Jesus Christ, "and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Think of it. They're going to take all the implements of war and turn them to productive use. And furthermore, they won't even learn war anymore. There's not even going to be a military. It's going to be peace on earth. Imagine a world with no war. It is going to be absolutely wonderful. And it's all because the Prince of Peace is now with us. Continuing on, more information about the millennium, what it will be like. Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 6. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child will lead them." Not even animals are going to kill each other. Think of that. A wolf and a lamb lying down together at perfect peace, no fear, and a little child leading lions and leopards. It's going to be a really amazing sight. It's going to be a wonderful sight. Continuing on in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. Lions aren't going to eat deer anymore. They're not going to eat rabbits anymore. No one running for their life in fear. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. You're not going to have to worry about copperheads. You're not going to have to worry about rattlesnakes anymore. All of that will be passed. Instead, there's going to be safety, there's going to be security, and there's going to be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Continuing on in verse number 9 of Isaiah 11, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, speaking of Jesus, which shall stand for an ensign, a banner of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So the earth's going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord. What is the knowledge of the Lord? That's his nature. Love your enemy. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Those are the principles that will rule the entire world in the coming kingdom of God. The earth is going to be at rest, and God's rest, the Bible says, is going to be glorious. Now we ask this question, so who's going to populate the earth during the kingdom of God? Well, there's an answer in the Bible. In Daniel chapter number 7, remember this is the prophecy about the nations that will be on the earth at the time of the second coming. In Daniel 7:11, Daniel said, I beheld until the beast, the Antichrist, is slain, his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. And then he said, and then as concerning the rest of the beast, remember that beast are symbols of nations. As concerning the rest of the nations, they have their dominion, their power taken away. They're not allowed to rule themselves anymore. Yet their lives were prolonged into the millennium, into the rulership of Jesus and his church for a season and a time. So Great Britain, the United States, 1/6 of Russia, and the other nations in Daniel 7 will live into the millennium. Why do I say 1/6 of Russia? Because Ezekiel chapter 39 tells us that 5/6 of Russia will be destroyed. Now, whether that means 5/6 of the Russian army or 5/6 of the entire nation of Russia, I don't know. This will be her penalty for leading the charge against Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. There's a possibility also that children will not be held responsible for the decision of their parents. Back when Israel refused to go into the Promised Land in the Old Testament, all below the age of 20 were not held responsible for the decision of their parents, and they were allowed to go into the Promised Land. Could it be that all of the young people below 20 again will be allowed to enter in? I don't know that for sure, but I did check, and there's almost 2 billion people below the age of 20 on the earth right now. So there's plenty of people to populate the earth during the millennium. The Bible also tells us in Isaiah 65 and 20 that lifespans will be elongated back to the way they were in the beginning of time. It says in Isaiah 65:20, for the child shall die 100 years old. Can you imagine going to a funeral? And there will be funerals during the millennial reign because there will still be mortals on earth. Can you imagine going to a funeral and they say, how old was he? Oh, he was 100. Ah, just a kid, just a lad, because then people will live once again. Remember how Methuselah lived 969 years, Adam lived 900 and some years. Well, that's the way it's going to be during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. There's another thing I love to think about, and that is the Bible teaches us that Satan is going to be bound during the entire 1,000 years. Can you imagine a world without a devil? It is going to be a wonderful situation. Now, the majority of people serve Satan now because he's the god of this age. But when he's bound, the majority of people will serve God instead. And so it's going to be a wonderful thing during the millennium. Now, what happens after the 1,000 years of peace? Revelation 20, verse 7 through 8 tells us, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So Satan's loosed, He goes out once again, begins to spread his deceit, and he's able once again to deceive the nations. Gog and Magog in particular refers to Russia once again. And the Bible tells us that he will influence them to come down against Jesus Christ at Jerusalem. Why in the world does God loose Satan? I've had so many people ask me that question. Why would God do that? The only answer I can come up with is that before he culminates everything, he wants the people who live during the millennium to once again have free choice between himself and Satan. Because if he's going to take people into eternity with eternal life, he wants to make sure that they have chosen of their own free will to follow him. I think that's the reason it happens that way. Well, then finally, in chapter 20, verse number 9, when the armies of Gog Magog come down against Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. God said, enough already. I'm not putting up with this anymore. The enemies of Jesus Christ will be consumed by fire from heaven. Then the Bible says in verse number 10 of chapter 20, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. So Satan joins the Antichrist, the false prophet. Remember, they were cast into the lake of fire 1,000 years before that. Now Satan will join them there. And the Bible says they will be tormented day and night forever and forever. Then the scripture tells us in verse 11 about the great white throne of judgment. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. All people who were not in the rapture, that do not already have eternal life, they're going to come before this great white throne of judgment. And it's there that they're going to be judged according to their works. I don't know exactly how that judgment is going to be, but I know one thing. It's going to be just, because God, who sits on the throne, who knows all things and who will make perfect judgment in all matters, will determine the eternal destination of all people at that time. I'm glad that's not my job. That's his job. Then finally, in Revelation 20, verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Remember back in Revelation 20, verse 4 through 6, it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Those are the people that made the rapture. On such, the second death hath no power. So it's going to be so good. Whatever you do, make sure that you're in the first resurrection. Then you will not have to appear before the great white throne of judgment. All that's going to be settled. You will have received eternal life over 1,000 years before that particular time. So the Bible tells us, what then happens after the great white throne of judgment? What then? Well, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21 refers to it. Unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So what lies beyond the human existence? We know that when fire falls from heaven, it consumes the mortals. That will be the end of humanity as we know it. The human experiment will be over. God will have brought out of humanity this special group of people that actually will be his bride, that will rule and reign with him during the millennium, but not just during the millennium. But God has big plans. We don't know what all of those plans are, but God has big plans for us beyond what we know now. World without end. Will God have other creations? What all will he do? I'm sure there's going to be many things that will be done. I know one thing. I want to be a part of it. Now, let me remind you, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ said himself, He said, except a person is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever you do as a result of these lessons, I hope you'll make sure that you understand what being born again is really all about, because that's what it takes for you to be a part of this eternal kingdom. And I'd like to suggest to you, too, that you might like to get for yourself this entire 28 segment, this 14 DVD series, so you can play it over and over, because these are the things that are getting ready to happen between now and the second coming of Jesus Christ. They're going to affect your life. They're going to affect mine. They're going to affect our families. Jesus Christ is soon coming back. What a privilege it's going to be a part of that generation. The Bible says this generation shall not pass until everything is fulfilled. It's going to be a wonderful thing to be a part of those who welcome Jesus Christ back to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our 14 lessons now include the United States discovered in the Bible, New World Order is world government, Islam in Bible prophecy, World War III, Israel's God-given destiny, Israel, God's prophetic time clock, Holy Roman Empire reborn, Antichrist and the false prophet, 666 Mark of the Beast, the secret pact between Gorbachev and the Vatican, when all religions become one, the seven trumpets, the second coming, and the kingdom of God established on earth. You will want to have all 14 of these marvelous prophecy lessons. If you go through these 14 DVDs, each of them 1 hour, you are going to know more about Bible prophecy than the average student graduating from theological seminary. We need to know where we are right now. Jesus Christ said, I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe. So the number to call is, one more time, 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com.
Janice Wendell Crouch has transitioned from this world to the next. She has stepped into the presence of Jesus and into her heavenly reward. Jan Crouch, known around the world as Mama Jan, has gone home. Those who battled for the kingdom of God knew her as a fighter, someone who didn't give up, someone who fought relentlessly to get the gospel around the world. Viewers of the Trinity Broadcasting Network knew her as someone who partnered with Paul Crouch in the launch and expansion of TBN, and as someone who came into their homes for over 40 years. To thousands of orphans around the world and those orphaned in spirit, she was Mama Jan, quick with a smile, a gift, and a word of encouragement. To a select few, she was not a television figure, but was sister, wife, mom, or grandma. An integral part.
This is WHSG-TV, Monroe, Georgia, licensed to Trinity Christian Center of Santa Ana, Incorporated. WHSG-TV also provides the Church Channel, Juice, TBN Enlace, Smile of a Child, and TBN Salsa Program Services.
This is a divine appointment. He loves you and has a plan for your life. He doesn't want you to live like you've been living. He doesn't want you to hurt like you've been hurt. The feelings that you have, the torment at night. I'm speaking to people, you can't even sleep at night. You're so worried about your tomorrows. God has your tomorrows if you would just turn your life over to Him.
How often I have wanted to gather your children together. Like a hen that gathers her chicks beneath her wings to protect them. But you wouldn't let me.
watch Manifest with Perry Stone preaching the Word of God.
This is TBN, part of the Trinity.